Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Creeping closer to 4 o'clock here on this wonderful Friday. Big sports weekend ahead for all of us. We haven't even mentioned the baseball. The Yankees get set to play a 3-game series against Tampa. John Sterling being honored on Saturday afternoon. The Mets are in L.A. taking on the Dodgers with a very, very late night start. I'll give you some advice on how to get through the late night games coming up a little bit later on. And obviously, the Islanders start their series 5 o'clock tomorrow in Raleigh against the Hurricanes. The Knicks at Madison Square Garden against the Philadelphia 76ers. And the Rangers at Madison Square Garden on Sunday against the Washington Capitals. Hello, SNY. But all week long, we have been presenting to you the Evan and Tiki Top 20. Brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City, where we've been counting down the 20 greatest draft picks in New York sports history over the last 50 years. We are down to our final eight. We are about to reveal numbers 8 through 5. I do want to tell you that the big grand announcement where we find out the top four and eventually the top draft pick in New York sports history will occur on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. This Wednesday, 4 o'clock on the eve of the NFL draft, we'll get the answer to this question. On Tuesday, we will go through all the near misses. I've been told that the committee that helped put this together, along with the fans who voted at WFAN.com/draft, will release what they call the near misses. So we'll hear about the guys that almost made the top 20 that did not make the top 20. Go to WFAN.com. You can check out everyone who's made it so far. But right now, we're down to the nitty-gritty. We're down to number 8 through number 5. And I'm very excited and also very nervous, because Tiki somehow got inside information that apparently someone who's being announced today is like a surprise or a swerve or however the hell you described it. Now, I don't know what that means, because I've been playing along like all of us. Like, I know who should be around the top 10, who should be around the top 15. And to me, there shouldn't be a swerve. It's more than matter of order. But we're about to find out. So, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Top 20 reveal, brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City, gives us number 8.
Number 8. In the 12th round of the 1981 MLB Draft, the New York Mets select Roger Clemens, San Jacinto College, Pasadena, Texas.
Throws it down. In time. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Roger Clemens pitches the best game you've ever seen pitched. One hit, 2 walks, and 15 strikeouts.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Wow.
Roger Clemens, because he was drafted by the Mets? And it didn't sign, by the way.
But he did end up being a Yankee.
And ended up being a good New York baseball player.
Right.
So it kind of
works.
I mean, it technically works. He was drafted by the Mets. And I remember hearing that. Like, mm-hmm. It's never top of mind when I think of Roger Clemens. But really? Clemens is ahead of these other New York legends because the Mets drafted him and he was like, no, thank you.
Until I started looking at researching this, because I wanted to vote like accurately, including voting for myself, I didn't realize he was drafted by the Mets.
I don't think a lot of people do.
I honestly had no idea.
It's an inherent flow of Major League Baseball because he was drafted by the Mets and 2 years later drafted by the Red Sox. But nonetheless, value, taking Clemens in the 12th round, had he signed, how much could have been different for the Mets having that kind of...
How much different could it have been? I mean, first of all, they could have had a Clemens-Doc rotation. The Mets would have won the World Series, but Roger Clemens and the Red Sox probably aren't even there because Clemens is on the Mets. So maybe it's like a Mets-Angels World Series. Maybe we win like 5 World Series because we got this crazy-ass rotation, and then he probably doesn't, you know, screw with my emotions a decade and a half later.
Throws a bat at Posada and Evan's defending him.
That's right.
I love this, though. He ended up being a really, really important big-time New York pitcher.
I mean, I don't know how to feel about this.
What do you mean?
Like, I get
he was drafted by your team.
I know, but 12th round, too. That's the value thing.
It's not like he was a first-rounder that never happened.
Boy, Tiki was right when he said swerve. I did not think for a second Roger Clemens, who, I mean, technically it all checks out. He was drafted by a New York team. Mm-hmm. He was drafted by the Mets. He didn't sign. And then you're right. He gives you the exclamation point by at least playing for a New York team. Yeah. So it's not like he doesn't have a New York legacy, but geez, man.
Tiki, how do you feel that he's higher than you on this list?
Well, I mean, he's Roger Clemens, dude.
I mean, Roger Clemens is one of the great pitchers of all time.
Well, there you go, though. There's somebody who's on the list who Clemens is ahead. He's telling you he's got no problem with it.
Wow. Right.
All right.
Even though he didn't actually sign with the Mets.
You know what that means? That means like 30 years from now, because clearly we've seen a trend that the modern player is not on this list. Mm. Like, we haven't heard, you know, as of yet, maybe I'm wrong, maybe they'll be in the top seven, but we haven't heard Aaron Judge or Jacob DeGrom or guys like that. Gerrit Cole was the same thing. He was drafted by the Yankees and then didn't sign. But then he ends up with the Yankees, yeah. So I guess it works out. All right, well.
But he was on the hated Astros.
What, that disqualifies him? I mean, Roger Clemens was on the hated Red Sox.
True.
And the hated Yankees.
Didn't win a World Series with the Astros, though.
And I don't know if you know this, but Roger Clemens was in George Steinbrenner's box. That is true. That did happen that one time.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that clip once.
Have you?
Okay.
All right, well, congratulations to Roger Clemens. Let's get number seven, then.
Number seven, with the 40th pick in the second round of the 1993 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Michael Strahan, Texas Southern.
Third down and seven. Good jump off the line by Strahan, who gets the sack.
Very deserving. Michael Strahan's a Hall of Famer. Well deserved. Congratulations.
Hall of Famer, top 10, the man.
One of your teammates.
Absolutely.
How's that make you feel?
Leader of our team. Fantastic.
Good.
He deserves it.
This is the first time, and I guess this makes sense, seven, where I could have the conversation about him being number one. Hmm. So I'm cool with seven.
I mean, I love Michael Strahan, but you're not having the conversation about him being number one.
You heard
he's
that?
Still on the outside looking.
40th pick, and maybe I'm the only one who keeps valuing
so
where these
guys
are taken.
The value there. I mean, that was the, not to blow my own horn, but that those 90s, late 90s drafts, the Giants crushed in the second round.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Seriously.
Okay. No, I know.
It was Strahan, and it was Amani, and then it was me.
And OC was a second round.
OC as well. But he was, was he 2000?
2004.
So if I'm mistaken right now, the New York Giants have been represented by Phil Simms, by Tiki Barber, and by
the guy sitting next to you.
I'm trying to remember. And Michael Strahan. He's been showing so far.
Yes.
All right, let's get to number six. Who's ahead of him?
Number six, with the 144th pick in the sixth round of the 1977 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Joe Klecko, Temple.
This versatile talent earned Pro Bowl nods at three different positions.
Wow.
The anchor of the New York Sack of Change, Joe Klecko.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, congratulations to Joe Klecko.
Joe Klecko. This screams... Screams recency bias.
What are you talking about? Joe Klecko played years before Michael Strahan.
Yes, I understand this, but Joe Klecko just got into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Michael Strahan was a second ballot Hall of Famer.
So
should have been
mean?
A first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, you're giant upset about
no,
this.
No, it's not even giant upset. Joe Klecko, great player. I give it to him. I love the dude. In fact, I met him because he got inducted the same year that Rondé got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Awesome dude. But there's no way he's above Michael Strahan.
Why? Joe Klecko was a Pro Bowler at three different positions.
Okay, but that's...
That doesn't count now?
It's a different game.
Okay. so the game then doesn't count. Okay.
Of course it does. It's a different game. We're talking about one of the best defensive players of the generation in Michael Strahan.
I get it.
He has a sack record.
Sack record that was handed to him.
It doesn't matter.
A sack record that was...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brett Favre. What are we talking about?
Does the record book say 22 sacks?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Joe Klecko had 20 and a half sacks. Let's not act like he wasn't that far off.
I'm not saying
maybe
he was
if a quarterback
far
went
off
down for him too, he would have had the record.
Evan, this is a little too passionate. We again, Tiki and I, didn't know who this committee was. Now I'm starting to think you were on it. I think we might know who else was on it.
Bad job by me.
I mean, how
is
he
no
there?
Doubt.
And by the way,
there's no doubt Joe Beningo is on this committee. There's absolutely no doubt.
This is how this
dude, Joe went to the Hall of Fame.
Of course.
Joe drove his ass out to Canton, Ohio, and was there simply to see Joe Klecko.
So you're accusing Beningo of putting Klecko above Strahan?
Is Revis next? I mean, seriously, what the hell's
this
going on?
This is such bushly. And by the way, the only argument for Klecko is the 6th-round thing, one that keeps getting pushed back in my face and it doesn't matter.
And nobody's even saying it.
Especially with Don Mattingly.
Well, hold on a second. Thank you for bringing that up. Joe Klecko out of Temple was taken in the 6th round of the NFL draft. You've spent this entire process talking about guys and where they were selected.
Okay.
Joe Klecko was found off the scrap heap and then became a Hall of Famer.
Really? Scrap heap?
He was a 6th round pick,
Tiki.
Weren't
there 17 rounds that in those years?
But still, so this is the exact argument is Wright versus Mattingly. If that's how Klecko gets in over Strahan, then Mattingly beats Wright.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's no consistency to this freaking list.
Strahan should be top 5, to be honest with you.
That's my bad.
Yes, it is your bad, Joe B.
Look, can I be honest with you?
Look at him.
This is Evan, Joe B, and Ernie Acosta together a list.
Let me
along
be honest.
Along with Spike.
Spike has nothing. He doesn't even know who Joe Klecko is. You think he has any idea?
I don't know, but somebody nefarious is atop this list.
I am going to be honest with you. Now, I also admit Joe Klecko is before my time, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm 40 years old. I certainly know about Joe Klecko. I respect Joe Klecko, and I love that he made the Hall of Fame. If it was up to me.
Recency bias.
If it was up to me, I would not have had Joe Klecko ahead of Michael Strahan. Does that make you feel better?
Yes.
So don't accuse me of doing it. I didn't do anything.
Now I can stop yelling at you.
Okay, good. All right, let's get to the last pick of the day, number 5.
Number 5. With the 14th pick in the 1st round of the 2007 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Dorrell Revis, Pittsburgh.
Recency bias.
That's time. Right to Revis, interception. Revis down the side, cuts back to this side, one block, and he's gone! Darrell Revis all the way home! 100 yards! Touchdown! New York Jets!
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, guys. I understand
bias.
The Jet thing's going to bother you, but
yes,
Darrell Revis... No, but Darrell Revis... Let's be fair about this. We all watched him play.
Recency bias.
It's not recency bias. It's that for a 4-year period, there was nobody in the world that did it better. What?
In New England.
What? So is that supposed to penalize him?
No. Just say it.
You're just trying to taunt me?
Yes.
That's what you're doing?
Yes.
So you're just being a jerk?
Yes. If you're going to have 2 Jets above Strahan, you're getting taunted.
Well, first of all, let's look at them as individuals and not just Jets. Darrell Revis, between 2008 and 2011, was the best cornerback maybe in the history of the freaking sport. Like, literally, you can go that far. You can. When you look at the rule changes as compared to the 70s, where you were allowed to harass wide receivers, Darrell Revis played his position. Tell me when I'm telling lies. He played his position as well as anybody the sport has ever seen. So if you want to bitch about Joe Klecko, that's fine. I respect that. I see your anger. Darrell Revis was better than Michael Strahan and deserves to be ahead of him. I'm sorry.
And during his 2 best years, Revis, he wasn't even the best corner of football. Nnamdi Asomugha was.
That's BS.
Was he ever defensive player of the year?
What does that mean? He finished 2nd, so we got to go through the voting and make sure everybody got it right?
You're saying Strahan has one.
And if he's a top 5 draft pick of all time, you make sure you keep him, too. You don't let him go to Tampa.
No. Woody Johnson screwing up does not make you right. Like, to me, I was angry when the Jets allowed Darrell Revis to go. To cite that as a reason. Why, see, he's not that good. They let him go. That's a Jet problem. Okay? That's a problem because they're inept. Okay? Sometimes over the years, they've been run by idiots. Okay? So you can't use that now as a rip on Darrell Revis.
If you are drafting a team and it's about to be their rookie year and you know how you have the guy for the next 15 years, you're taking Strahan or Revis?
Mm. Listen, man, if I get a lockdown corner in this modern NFL, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Okay. I'm thinking long and hard now. I'll give you this.
Get after the passer.
Yeah. Darrell Revis.
Aaron Ross from that draft of Revis got a ring because of Strahan.
Look, Mike, Michael Strahan had a wonderful career. True. And he anchored that incredible pass rush that won him a Super Bowl. But you cannot argue that Darrell did his job at the top of his game better than Michael did his job.
Sorry.
You want to tell me I'm wrong? Go ahead. Just argue that. Go ahead.
I mean, he had 22 sacks in a season. 22 and a half.
Okay, he's a cornerback. We're talking about what Darrell did. He shut down corners. He put him on an island in which number one wide receivers would not be looked at.
Okay.
Okay, they're different positions. I acknowledge that. That's why I'm framing it a certain way. He did his job as well as anybody can, and I think he did his job better. See, I don't want to rip Strahan here because it's not a rip.
Yeah,
don't, we're talking about greatness.
Look, here's the thing. A cornerback who's great can hide because almost his reputation protects him.
Couldn't hide in 2011 versus Cruz.
All right. You can hide. Your reputation protects you.
Wasn't freaking him, dude.
When you're an edge rusher.
It was Kyle Wilson. You want to rip Kyle Wilson? Go rip Kyle Wilson.
When you're an edge rusher, you're not hiding from anybody. Like they're attacking you. They're double teaming you. They're chipping you. You can't hide. He did it for 15 years, Strahan did.
That's it? Oh, okay.
Tiki, there's no use in arguing with
him. I can't.
Well, what have I said that's so wrong?
It just became abundantly clear that this was the Evan and Joe and Evan Invitational.
Oh, stop
That's
it.
Essentially what happened.
Wait, hold on.
So our guys just got into the Hall of Fame. Right. Let's put them above the Giants.
Of course.
Can I prove to you guys in one simple way that this was not the Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts Invitational?
And Bad job by me.
I'll use two words very simply to describe that I had nothing to do with this, and maybe Beningo had nothing to do with this. Are you ready for the two words? Actually, three words. Roger effing Clemens.
But that now feels
we
like you set us up.
We never put him on this list. Ever.
That now sounds like you set us up. Wait, hold on. Who's this? Oh, I'm sorry. That was Iron Staten Island. I said Joe also sent him a ballot. Wow.
Yeah, we got some angry Giant fans. Not happy about it. Well, we will reveal the top four guys. And by the way, if I'm being fair with you, knowing who has made this list from the New York Jets, I think the Jets are done. I don't think they have anybody in the top four, if we're being honest with each other.
I would hope not.
Look, I think
Nick Mengel's at three, you shut down the station.
Wayne Corbett.
Come on.
I think those guys are clear near misses, and they'll probably be discussed on Tuesday when we go through the near misses.
Keyshawn Johnson?
Not to me as a clear miss.
There's also been
some
teams around here that have been omitted so far. Like, I'd hope to see some of those teams be represented.
What teams have been omitted so far?
Well, for number one, the Knicks have not been represented so far. I'm sure the council will get it right in the top four.
I mean, I voted for one of them. I voted for you.
Frank Ntilikina?
Yeah. Kenny Skywalker not going to get it?
Is he still in the league?
I'm pretty sure. The New York Knicks will have a representative in the top four.
I hope so, because so far this list has caused a lot of controversy. Well, let's hope it doesn't cause some real big ones.
Well, here's what I know. The Devils have been represented with the great Martin Brodeur.
Yes.
Okay. The Rangers have been represented numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders have certainly been represented.
Yes.
The New York Mets, despite their failures, have already seen Doc, Darryl, David Wright, and dare I say Roger Clemens.
Boy, Met fans been taken
That's
care
That's amazing that we have to adopt this guy. Nobody wants him.
The New York Yankees have been represented with the great Don Mattingly, and I'm sure they're not done yet.
No.
So the only local teams that have not been represented quite yet, one won't be represented, the other one will be. And that, of course, is the New York Knicks, who will be represented. I think we're all pretty confident about that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of where he's going to fall in the top four. And I think that's going to be a great debate on Wednesday. But I can promise you the New Jersey / Brooklyn Nets are not being represented.
No.
Unfortunately, Kenny Anderson and Derek Coleman and Brooke Lopez and Derek Favors did not make it.
No, Kenyon Martin?
Are those the best four draft picks in net history?
Well, if you want to get literal, I mean, their pick was used to draft Damian Lillard. I don't think that one qualifies because I think they clearly traded that pick months before it was used.
I think who was the best pick in net history.
I just told you, Brooke Lopez.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's your all-time leading scorer. Why you say that so sarcastically?
Because I don't know. I just feel like there'd be... I guess I'm thinking more of the history is probably... it's just odd.
Want to give Kenyon Martin some edge? I loved him for a couple years. No. You know the New Jersey / Brooklyn Nets have not used a pick in the lottery since 2010? Think about that for a second.
I did not know that.
That's how pathetic of a franchise they are. But here's the point. That's the one franchise that clearly is not being represented in the top 20, and they don't deserve to.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad. They just don't deserve to. But the Mets have done well. The Yankees have done okay. The Giants have done well. The Jets have done well. The Islanders had a field day. That's what happens when you have a dynasty. And remember, there were a couple of guys that just missed. This is the last 50 years. Dennis Potvin was 1 year off.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
50 years.
Just so like Joe Namath. If it was 55 or 60 years, he could have been represented as well. So good job by those that have voted. And obviously the panel, it's caused some controversy, but we do appreciate it. And again, Wednesday, 4 o'clock, we will reveal the top four. And on Tuesday at 4 o'clock, we will be given the near misses, those that just missed the cut in terms of making the Evan and Tiki top 20. We appreciate everybody that's voted. And of course, this unknown panel, which now Sean and Tiki have assumed, includes Joe Benengo. I cannot confirm nor deny that. Now, we got to get a lot more to your phone calls. We'll give you our thoughts on the Mets City Connect jerseys, but we do have a piece of Yankee news that should be addressed. You do not have to break the glass, but Sean, what the hell's going on with DJ LeMahieu?
All right, an MRI was taken last night, and it showed a, quote, lack of healing. Doctors are not comfortable with him beginning a rehab assignment. This is from Brian Hoke. He's frustrated. He hopes to be playing in 3 to 4 days. Boone echoed that as well, that they hope maybe by next Tuesday he could begin playing. But still, an MRI saying a lack of healing, not good news.
What do you make of that? Because we're talking about a foot issue that the Yankees initially thought, hey, maybe he'll be ready for opening day. And obviously it's 3.5 weeks later and we're getting this.
So, I mean, what did they describe this as? A bruise? A foot bruise?
I thought a bone bruise.
I forget what it was, but whatever it is, a bone bruise. Bone bruise is basically it's almost a fracture, right? There's just damage that makes it very susceptible to fracture. But unlike a bruise in say like your quad or your shoulder or your there's no tissue, there's no fat, there's no like vascular network, and so you don't heal. There's not a lot of blood flow. It's why when you have foot injuries, it takes forever to get right, because there's not a ton of blood flow down there. And so without blood flow, it doesn't heal correctly. So, I mean, this thing is going to linger. I knew it was. As soon as he said it, you know, whatever it was, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I knew this was going
to
linger
for a
while.
Well, is this related to the foot issue that he had a couple of years ago?
I don't think so, because this feels like it's top of his foot,
mm-hmm.
whereas I think a couple of years ago it was his toe, like his big toe,
right.
Which often is an issue for athletes. Because you're constantly on the pressure on your toe, and you get a bunion, and if it starts bothering you, this is what Aaron Judge is going to have to deal with. What he was talking about for the rest of his career, it just creates this callus on your foot. It makes it changes your gait.
Yeah,
right. I think this is different. This feels more like a contusion, or maybe even a fracture on the top of his foot that just doesn't heal quickly.
Look, there's good news and there's bad news attached to this. I mean, there's really no good news. Just your situation is good news. The good news situationally is Oswaldo Cabrera deserves the chance to play every day. And we even mentioned this the other day. When DJ comes back, I would use him more as a super utility player. Get a little bit of time at first base at Anthony Rizzo. He could use it. Play a little bit at second base, especially when Glaber plays head up your ass baseball. Let him play second base. Obviously, against the tough lefty, DJ should play third base and let Oswaldo sit. But for now, this continues to give Oswaldo Cabrera opportunity. But eventually, the Yankees are better if DJ LeMahieu is back. They have more versatility. They're just a better team. And I also still sort of believe that there's more left in DJ LeMahieu based on what I saw in the second half of last year. But right now, this just continues to be frustrating because ever since the end of 2020, when he was La Machine 2 years in a row, and the Yankees kept DJ LeMahieu, he's been a massive disappointment because, A, he's doesn't stay healthy, and then B, even when he's out there, he hasn't even been close to the guy he was in 2019 and even during that shortened 2020 season. So it's another kind of reminder that maybe we're never going to see La Machine again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, oddity, because the Yankees claimed this Taylor Trammell from the Dodgers.
He's an outfielder.
Right. They DFA'd now Kevin Smith. Let him go. So Jamai Jones might be able to play around the infield a little bit. They have no backup shortstop besides Oswaldo Cabrera. So if he got hurt playing third base or something like that, they are really, really thin with infield depth right now.
Yeah, and Peraza's still hurt, right?
Yeah, Peraza, LeMahieu.
This is a big missed opportunity for Oswald Peraza. It stinks he got hurt because think about the playing time he'd be getting right now. We'll come back. We'll get back to your calls, 877-337-6666. And we've seen the Met City Connect jerseys. We'll give you our opinions on the big debate. Do we like it? Does it suck? Is it amazing? Our thoughts coming up. Tiki Barber walked into the studio, and there was a smell that if Sean Morash was in the studio, he would take his clothes off. That's how excited he would be. Come in the studio. And I want you to react to what you smell, and I'll describe it to the audience, because this is a smell, all right. It hits you as soon as you walk in. Get a big whiff of that. Oh, you like that? What is that? What is that? That's buttered popcorn. He's taking his shirt off. Oh, my God. Put it away. Put it away. Thankfully, SNY didn't come back. They didn't get to see his giant.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we were all here and we had to watch
that. That's true. We all got to see Sean take his shirt off. But yeah, Tiki came in with some like pop. Where'd you get the popcorn from?
I brought a bag of popcorn.
And what do? You like heat it up?
Yeah.
In a popcorn machine? I thought I stole that already.
I always need a snack at like 4:15, 4:30. I'm always hungry.
Interesting. And it tastes good?
Tastes great.
It reminded me that my wife says to me this morning, hey, let's do something on Saturday. And I didn't want to be that guy to say, well, you know, Saturday is kind of crazy. Got the John Sterling ceremony. We got the Mets at 4, the Islanders at 5, Knicks at 6. So I was like, yeah, maybe early in the day. Like really early in the day. And she said, let's go see a movie.
Nice.
So I'm guiding her without telling her, hey, let's not do this late in the day for the reasons I just laid out. Even though, as I've explained before, DVR is my friend. You could always DVR this stuff, even if it's the postseason, though I don't like it. So she starts going to the Fandango website to see the movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing for kids.
No.
So the only movie she came up with, and I got to be honest with you.
Ghostbusters, maybe.
But that was it. That's exactly what I was going to say to you. She comes up with Ghostbusters, and I'm confused because I thought it came out 40 years ago. Dan Aykroyd, the whole thing.
It's a new one.
So they came out with another one?
It's a brand new one. My wife and kids went to see it.
What did they think?
Tracy fell asleep.
But good start.
I think the girls liked it, especially my seven-year-old, because she watched the first one. She didn't watch the other three.
There's been three?
This is the sequel with Paul Rudd.
Yes.
There was another Paul Rudd one. This is the sequel.
Oh, my God.
Well, because there was three of the originals, right?
Yes. Then you had the female cast.
Then you had the Melissa McCarthy one.
Yes.
And then you had the other sequel with
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. And what are we doing?
And this is the second one of those.
So is it, like, my kids have never seen Ghostbusters. I've shown my kids a lot of classic movies. We've watched a lot of movies over the years. Back to the Future, all that crap.
Tegan liked it because she recognized the guys from the first one.
Well, that's my question. Do I have to show them the first one? Like tonight,
it's an hour and 30 minutes. Like the first one's easy.
No, but I'm asking you, should I show them the first
one? Yes.
So that's important before going and seeing this
one. But not any of the other ones.
Just the first one.
Just the first one.
All right, we got movie night all set tonight then. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not looking forward to this, but you know what?
I was going to take Brooklyn to a movie tonight too.
What were you thinking?
But there's nothing out.
There's nothing out there, man.
So we're just going to go to the Thirsty Turtle.
Thirsty Turtle, there you go.
I love it.
Got it going on. I do know that on May 10th, the new Planet of the Apes comes out, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And last night...
Oh, by the way, that's what they saw.
What?
They saw the preview for Kingdom for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And so now Tracy... That's why... Remember I talked to you last week about the Planet of the new one?
Yeah. How pumped up I am.
I had never seen them. Actually, I saw the first one, but I didn't see the subsequent
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I saw Rise of the... I didn't see the other two.
It's with the guy who got canceled. James Franco.
James Franco.
Yeah.
And so Tracy went to Ghostbusters, saw the preview for Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. This is when she was still awake. And she came home and said, oh, I want to see that. Oh. I was like, well, you got to watch the first three with
me. You got to watch the first three, man.
So we sat down and watched the first three.
Dude.
So that's how I caught up on these.
I'm proud of you. And you know who else I'm proud of? This guy. I've had a debate over the last year because I got a couple of guys that I really love on my football team. Guys that I really love. Who's my new favorite player? You know, I haven't really had one since Terrell Reeves, and I got such great options. Love Sauce Gardner. Love him. Love Quincy Williams. I think his story is amazing.
Yeah, I like
and he's become such a great, impactful player.
He's a baller.
And I love Breece Hall. Breece Hall won me over last night. Mm. Breece Hall finished it because Breece Hall tweeted, I'm loving Planet of the Apes. And I even tweeted at him. I was like, that's it. Buying the jersey.
So this was the new one.
I don't even know. Oh, no. I'm sorry. He said, I love the Planet of the Apes series. All of these movies are great.
So now, here's the best part. He must be doing what I was doing.
Not necessarily. He could be watching the original. He could be watching 1968.
I doubt it.
Why?
Because if you watch 1968 Planet of the Apes, you're not saying, I love the Planet of the Apes.
That's not true. There's a series of movies. There's like five of them.
I know, but...
Why do you assume Breece Hall? Because he's young? Because he's a young guy.
No, they're just not as good as the current series.
Okay, let's take a time out for a second. I'm not gonna rip your head off. I'm not. I love you too much. I'm not gonna. And you gave an opinion. And I love the new grouping. I love the new Planet of the Apes. It's freaking amazing. But don't act dismissive like the original is some kind of piece of crap.
No, the original.
The original is the greatest piece of art ever created.
Yes, the original's fine.
Okay.
But then you get the subsequent ones.
Not great.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't hate him.
So if he's watching a series and saying they're great, he's watching the new series.
You're probably right.
If he's watching, oh, I love the Planet of the Apes, he might be watching the old one.
Yeah.
Because you're watching, you don't have no idea what's going to happen.
The second one's kind of interesting, though.
Yeah.
With the people that kind of know the telepathy and the AIs. It's a little weird.
It just got a little out there.
It got a little out there, especially when the world explodes and then they go back in time. Like, the whole thing's a little confusing.
You cannot go back in time.
Well, but they did.
Yes, I know.
I mean, you may not like it, but they actually did it. But May 10th is when this new Planet of the Apes comes out. I'm already, like, planning my nights around it.
We are prisoners of the moment, as Neil deGrasse Tyson would say.
I don't know what that means. Is that in relation to Planet of the Apes?
We're stuck between our inaccessible past and our unknowable future.
I understand, but you understand that the two apes went into a spaceship and the explosion of the Earth blowing up sent them back into a time warp. Do you not understand that? That's what happened. That's how Cornelius survived. Yeah.
Trying to think how scientifically, like how astrophysically that would happen.
Yeah, no, it's full of crap. Trust me.
Okay, I just making sure you know that.
All right, before we get back to your calls, the Mets came out with the City Connect jerseys. All right. Now, I have always been consistently a whiny baby when it comes to new jerseys because I'm very traditional.
Yes.
So when the Nets came out with their cartoon jerseys, I complained about it. I thought it was the worst thing ever. In general, I like tradition. I saw the Mets City Connect jerseys, and if you haven't seen it, they're all over the place on social media. You go to the Mets website, they're selling it, they're giving you discounts, they're all excited. It's very traditional looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's gray,
right?
And it's got
it's a dark gray. So if
dark
you're watching on SNY, it's like the shirt I have on. It's this kind of dark gray.
Yeah. Yes. Does SNY have a clip of the City Connects? Maybe not. I have no idea. They're the Mets. I'm not sure. But it's dark gray. And then the NY is very, like, cursive and old school looking, right?
Yes. I kind of like them.
I kind of like it, too. Like, I have to admit, it's got a very retro feel to it. There's a little bit of purple, but it's not overwhelming.
Right. It's subtle.
It's very subtle, and it looks like something a franchise would have worn in 1925.
Yeah. The reason I like it is because it feels like a jersey that you can just kick it in.
What does that mean?
Like, you just wear it. Like, you just wear it around. I'm going to whatever, hang out with some friends. I can wear this jersey, and it's not going to be so loud or obnoxious that you're screaming at people, look at me, I'm a Mets fan.
I agree. So it's like the opposite of what the Nets did, because the Nets did like this cartoon crap. Now, here's the controversy, because I want to address both sides, and I'll tell you why I'm okay with it. It says NYC on it, and there's a lot of Mets fans saying, wait a second, it should say Queens. We should represent our borough. I don't mind that it says NYC, and I'll tell you why. It's a City Connect jersey. It's not a Borough Connect jersey. And we do represent New York City. And a lot of Met fans are not from Queens. Now, do we go to Queens? Yes, to see Met games. Have some of us lived in Queens? Yeah, I lived in Queens for many, many years. I loved Queens. I got nothing against Queens.
We were just over there near Queens.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did a book signing. Love Queens. But I like the idea that the Mets were saying, no, we're New York's team. And that's not a knock on the Yankees. It's more... we represent everybody. There are Met fans in Brooklyn. I found out a week and a half ago, as did Tiki, there were Met fans on Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell knew? They showed up for a My Mets Bible book event. I had no idea. So I like the idea that everyone was represented. The one negative is the bridge on the Met hat is a little weird.
That's
a little strange.
That's the only thing I didn't like.
A little strange.
Because you can't tell exactly what it is, especially from afar. So it just looks like a distorted strip underneath the logo.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah.
But
the
jersey is very solid, and I would actually give it like a good 8 out of 10. Like, I'm not going to tell you it's the greatest thing ever. I'm not going to tell you they got to get rid of their normal jerseys. There is one thing, though, that maybe brings it down from a 10 to an 8. Can I tell you what it is?
The pants?
No, I don't mind the pants. I know that's received some criticism.
Yeah.
You don't like the pants?
It's too stark of a contrast.
Interesting.
The black, you look at the dark gray, black lettering, the little purple, and then just white pants. Didn't love it.
Okay. No, I respect that. I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. I'm mostly also not looking at pants. So maybe I'm just not paying attention to
it. You can barely see the pants in the picture. But
my only negative is the New York Yankees are one of two Major League Baseball teams that have not done a City Connect yet. Mm-hmm. Okay? The only other team that hasn't done one is the Oakland Athletics, and that's because they're not a real Major League functioning franchise. So we put them aside. Mm-hmm. The Yankees have never done it. I don't know if the Yankees will do it, but if the Yankees ever did – this Met jersey could be theirs. Like, it has a very basic New York old school feel that if you told me the Met City Connect jerseys were the Yankee jerseys, I would not be surprised. Like, I'd say, okay, that makes sense. And if you want to call that a negative, I put it as a slight negative. That's why I take it from a, hey, this is the best thing ever, to it's an eight. It's a solid, solid jersey. But because the Yankees don't have one, and they probably will never have one.
Nor should
because
they.
I think the Yankees are very arrogant and pompous when it comes to their jerseys. And I actually say that in a compliment. I know that comes across negatively.
No, I'm with you.
I actually respect the arrogance and the pompousness of it.
Yeah.
So if you take that as a negative, I genuinely don't mean it that way. I love that the Yankees say, what a Yankee.
I got to tell you, the best piece of the gear is probably the hoodie.
I haven't seen the hoodie.
The pullover hoodie. I'm just looking at it now.
Happy birthday to me.
I wanted to see the other guys, other teams, City Connect outfits, but the New York Mets pullover hoodie is dope. That
right.
cool.
You know what? This is season ticket holder. I get 15% off the team store. Let's go, baby.
I actually like the hat, guys. I like the bridge. I just would have made the logo on the hat purple. Now, this is just speaks more to me. I need more purple in this. Like, you make it a purple thing, even in the graphic, the logo is purple, and then you see the hat, and it's gray on gray. I would have made the logo purple, but everything else about the hat I like. I'm just saying this for me wearing it as a fashion sense.
They didn't really do as much purple as I thought.
Yeah, that's what I figured because they made purple a lot about it, right? The big announcement was purple, remember Tiki did that?
Yeah, that's right.
And then nothing's purple.
Well, it's not that nothing's purple because like the Nike swoosh is purple.
Care about the swoosh.
I'm just saying, like there is purple, it's just it's not heavy purple. It's mostly, and this is where it's Yankee-like, it's mostly gray, navy blue, a little white. It just feels more Yankee-like than Met-like. With that said, I think the NYC is badass.
Yeah.
Like, I think it actually looks pretty cool.
And the jersey better contribute to W's, because if the jersey goes, 0-10, then everyone's going to hate them. So if we get wins with them, people will love them.
But, and the opposite goes, because if you remember, the Red Sox have, in my opinion, one of the worst City Connect jerseys. Now, maybe to the people of Austin, they love it because it's the marathon and it's the yellow. Okay, yeah. Fine. And that's why it's City Connect.
It's just loud.
It's loud, and it doesn't feel like the Red Sox to me. So I get a Bostonian liking it. It's a City Connect jersey. It's not a New York Connect to Boston jersey.
Yeah,
so
you're not kicking it. It's screaming, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan.
It is. They got hot, and they started wearing it all the time. I think they wore it in that wild card game against the Yankees in 2021, if memory serves correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. For some reason, I think they were wearing it. I was at the game. Am I remembering it correctly? I was in the building that day. Maybe I am. But it felt like they were wearing them all the time.
They wore the red jerseys.
Oh, they did. Okay, so I'm remembering incorrectly. But it did feel like they wore it a lot down the stretch. So if the Mets start to win on Saturdays, because that's when they're scheduled to wear it, I think they're wearing it every Saturday this baseball season, maybe with the exception of like one day.
Except
for Darryl, because they want to go traditional. I respect that. But I think they're pretty good. I got to admit, usually I'm a whiny baby. I ain't whining today.
I expected worse, so I think that's why I think they're good.
I'm just going through all of them now. Houston's is actually pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Space City.
These just give off Hamburglar vibes. That's the problem.
What, the Astros one?
No, the new Met one.
How does the Met one give up Hamburglar?
They look like the Hamburglar.
No, you mean Grimace. Purple and gray is Grimace.
No. Grimace is purple fully. The Hamburglar wore the stripes like this. With the white and the gray.
I don't see it, bro.
Your team wears pinstripes.
You got to eat more McDonald's.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Because he was a criminal, so he had stripes on. You're right.
Now I remember.
I don't see it. I think it looked pretty good. So I give my stamp of approval if that matters. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to George in Montville. What's up, George?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good,
Evan,
man.
Tiki.
George, what's up?
Let's watch, guys. A couple of quick points. Tiki, respect, admiration.
Appreciate you, dude.
Lifetime Giant fan, you should be higher on that list. But I guess Beningo didn't feel that way.
Beningo's getting all the blame now.
That's funny.
Well, I can't blame Evan because he sits next to you and you can reach him. So
that's a good point. Good point, George.
Yeah, exactly. Right. A couple of things, Evan. A little sugar for you before I get to the salt. I'm a huge Devils fan. Been a Devils fan since they were in Colorado. Never really had a adversarial issue with the Islanders, so I'm rooting hard for the Islanders, because it's been a long time since they've been in relevancy. And I hate the Rangers, obviously, because I'm a Devils fan. Now, the salt part is you've lost your mind completely on a couple of points. Number one, Tiki, here's some sugar for you. Biggie's absolutely right on going down south. You don't take 95. That's nothing but congestion, traffic, and lunatics.
It's a cluster no matter when you go.
It's absolutely right. A cluster, absolutely. Biggie's absolutely right. My son went to school in Maryland. You take 78 to 81, and then what does that take? What does that go to then? Was that like 31 or 35 or something like that down there?
Yeah. And if you want to
go that way.
Yeah, there's other ways to cut over if you need to.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, yes. Does it take longer, Evan? Yeah, it does, a little bit. But you're moving,
mm-hmm.
and it's relaxing.
Right.
Unless you get behind, like, a farm tractor or something.
With all due respect, George, you sound like a wonderful guy. And I appreciate it. And I even appreciate that as a Devil fan, you're crossing over and rooting for the Islanders.
Let's go,
even
Devils.
I didn't like how you said they haven't been relevant. They went to back-to-back conference finals. Okay, so they were relevant plenty. It's just that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Your enemy is the Rangers. You know the Islanders winning bothers the Ranger fan, and that's why you're rooting for the Islanders. Thank you for that. That's number one. Number two, you guys don't know what you're talking about. All right? You can't avoid I-95. And nowadays, they've got those tolls in Virginia that are well worth the $2, $3 where you can skip all the traffic.
Okay, so here's,
going around it takes way too much time.
But, Evan, hear me out. I literally just did this because I had to go down for a Center for Politics event for Larry Sabato, who you would love, by the way.
He
invited you anytime you want to go.
I appreciate that.
Once you get to D.C., you are screwed. There's no, you can't get around it.
I know, I live there. It's bad.
You can go 495, you can go. There's a bypass, it takes you way around, but that's even, it's just, you hit a point at some point and along the journey where you're just stuck. And whether you're driving at night or in the middle of the day, it's going to be the same no matter what. So if you go around it and down 81, you just avoid it. Now, the only challenge, because I went and had to remind myself, if you're on 81, you're actually going southwest.
Exactly.
So you're actually trending towards where I grew up in Roanoke, which is makes it easy for me. But once you get towards North Carolina, you now got to go back about, I don't know, 30 miles west.
I'm telling you,
that's,
guys, I'm making a big mistake.
That's the only challenge.
Yeah, that's a challenge. You're actually spending more time driving. Now, look, if you prefer avoiding traffic but being in the car just as long, if not longer, then fine. Go do what you got to do.
Yes.
If that's your philosophy.
That's
but
my
I'm
philosophy.
Telling you, you're tacking on 35 minutes to your trip. I'm telling you. How many times I've driven to Disney World?
But you could tack on an extra hour.
How many times I've driven a Met spring training?
Too many.
I love it, man. Even though I-95, let's face it, is probably the single most boring highway ever built in America.
It is.
Like, the one thing I love to do on road trips, I'm trying to convince my family to do this during the summer, is let's go west. Because when you go west and you see the mountains, oh my God, it's freaking beautiful.
It just changes.
Yeah.
Like, the world changes.
You know what trip we're pitching on? This is a potential summer trip when I just abuse vacation time. Because I want to be here now in April and May. I would never take off except maybe for a couple of hours to see Mets opening day. Outside of that, I'm always here. But during the summer, I like to take it off.
You wouldn't even go on an anniversary trip, would you?
No, we didn't. We pushed that away. Yeah. Our honeymoon.
Especially not in the middle of the hockey postseason.
Well, I would never do it during the hockey postseason, especially if there's
possibly do that, especially when your team's in it.
Especially if the Islanders could play the Rangers, because that's like double deucer.
Right.
So we're all going to be here for Islanders Rangers, right, Loogie?
We're all going to be here, yep.
Yeah, right, just making sure. Right, Sean?
No comment.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Some of us got married 10 years ago in May, and we have to take a trip to California.
I got married in late August, early September. We pushed our honeymoon to February. Want to know why?
Football season.
Football season, man.
My wife knows that. No football season trip.
Rangers Islanders is okay. I'm pushing my wife for Niagara Falls.
Oh, wow.
Never been to Niagara
Falls. I've never
Falls.
Been either. It's right here.
It's a waste.
It's not right
is
here.
Is it a waste?
I went. It was so unimpressive.
No, I mean, it's not like you're going to Vancouver.
No. Right. It's still an 8-hour, 9-hour trip, but you're right.
I should change that. That's not fair to Evan. You should see it. Don't plan on staying in Niagara Falls.
Well, first of all, did you go to the Canada side or the America side?
Both.
And you didn't think it was worth it?
I thought it was mesmerizing, but it's one of those things, after you see it for about 15 minutes, you've seen Niagara Falls. They have a casino nearby. It's just not worth staying.
But you
Niagara.
Have to plan other things. So, like, for example, and this is purely a coincidence.
I did Yankees Jays.
Well, I don't have that coincidence. But while we're in Niagara Falls, don't shake your head. You're about to be happy, Loogie. Right when we're at Niagara Falls, up over in Toronto, just a few miles away, money in the bank.
That's not why I was shaking my head, by the way. You just said you want to go out west to see the mountains. It's beautiful, and you're pitching a trip North.
No,
not west.
No, it's northwest. You got to look at a map. It's you're going west.
Evan.
No, you're going west. No.
Evan, I love you to death. Yeah, you've done a lot for my career, blah, 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 blah.
He's thinking you're talking...
Oh, literal west?
Yeah, like Yellowstone! Yeah, like the West Wyoming. Coast! I want to go to the West Coast. I want to go out west. Niagara Falls! That's Canada, basically. Know, that's the north!
But it's west.
It's western
Evan!
New York.
It's west.
Like, on. I want to, Lugie, let
Evan's
me clarify.
Right. It's western New York.
Can I clarify for you? Because I understand your simple mind got confused. You hear west, and you think straight line west.
I thought you meant west also.
Well, I did. I meant everything that was west.
But not like New York west. Because if you've ever been out to Wyoming or Montana or any of these places.
I have never gotten out that far. The furthest I've gotten drive-wise, I'm talking drive-wise, is Missouri. Right. I got out to Missouri once.
You want to go watch for aliens? Go out to Montana or Wyoming.
I considered it when I was out there.
There's no ambient light. There's no lights that point up. So all the lights, if they're there, are down. And it's usually none at all. It's like being in a planetary.
I know, but you know what's also not there?
What?
Baseball stadiums.
Okay, who cares? Oh, God, I can't.
Go there for baseball stadiums.
I got something. Why do you think I was in Missouri? I think it was to see the arch?
Learn how to fly fish.
Nah, not interested.
I'm telling you, you'd love it.
Here's my point, though, all right? It's about going anything that's not on the eastern seaboard. So, like, if you went to Montreal, you're not going west. You're going straight up north.
Oh, let's go to Indy. That's
west. That's west. Why, you want to go to Knicks Pacers second round of the playoffs?
No.
Tiki draws the line.
Philadelphia. Drivable, yes.
Philly's okay.
Boston, maybe, in the conference finals. Hey, we'll do that.
But Toronto is west because think about this, Luke. I'll explain it in a sports sense. When the Buffalo Bills, and you do have to drive through Buffalo, when you go to Niagara Falls, just so you know, like you go through Buffalo, Buffalo is always referred to as...
Western New York.
Western New York.
Yeah, Western New York. Evan, next time you go to a party or a social event, say, I'm taking my family out west. And then say, to Niagara Falls! And then give me the reaction that everyone gives you! Come on, bro!
Oh, Evan,
come
you got to figure it out. Niagara Falls for a couple hours, Toronto, that's a great trip.
Thank you.
Yeah, but just Niagara Falls is like Mount Rushmore. You kind of look up, you see it, and you're like, oh, okay.
That's my biggest problem with Mount Rushmore, and I disagree with you, though, about Niagara Falls. So Mount Rushmore, I agree. I've always wanted to see it, but a part of me says I'm going to look at it for 30 seconds and say, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Niagara Falls does have a lot of different things you can do in and around the falls.
You could do the boat within.
Yeah, what are you doing with Mount Rushmore? You're staring at the president's face and saying, let's move on.
I did the boat. I got to both parks on both sides. Then there's like a really rundown Jersey Shore shady part of the Canada side that you go through. A lot of that could be crossed off very quickly.
I disagree. Have you done a take?
No. Niagara?
Really?
No, I've not. I'm surprised I haven't.
Yeah, I'm surprised too.
But
I feel like you've done everything.
I just never think about it. I don't know why. It's just not a place I think about going to.
Mm. Yankees play the Blue Jays in the playoffs. It's perfect. We'll make the trip on the way.
There it is. Let's
go to Josh in Poughkeepsie. Hey, Josh.
What up, Josh?
Hey, I just wanted to ask Evan real quick if he had some inside knowledge on Joel Embiid because they just put out his availability and he's questionable for game one.
Okay, so I'm not going to say, Josh, that I have inside knowledge. Mm. What I'm going to say is I like to make educated guesses.
Mm, as an IBO.
As an independent basketball observer and as somebody that has watched a lot of Joel Embiid beat my team and Joel Embiid in the postseason. And here's what I know about Joel Embiid. Even when he's hurt, he plays, but he doesn't play every game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and sometimes it comes out of nowhere, and it's a surprise, and you can't take advantage of it. See Net Sixers 2019. And sometimes it's strategic. So let's play a game, folks. Joel Embiid has played a handful of games since coming back off a knee injury. We all watched him two nights ago limp and kind of get his way through 37 minutes, in which he definitely picked it up in the last 5.5 minutes of the game. He is not 100%. He's probably not even 80%. You want to say he's 60 to 70%? Okay, fine. The Philadelphia 76ers probably know. I don't know if we can get 7 games out of him. I just don't know.
Yep.
He's on a bad knee. He's going to have to play big minutes. Things are going to get physical. I don't think he can get through 7 games. So if you're Philadelphia, you are probably, without telling anybody a word, figuring, how do I maximize Embiid in the games he plays, but also be smart about maybe not playing him in every game. And that's not punting a game. It's being strategic. So I'll walk you through it. You tell me if I'm crazy, because maybe I am.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense? If that's the philosophy, if Nick Nurse is being told by his doctors, look, you're getting 5 games out of him, pick the 5.
Yeah.
Does it not make sense to take game 1, give Joel a few extra days,
after he played in that play-in game and have him good to go for game two, game three, and take it from there, see where the series goes.
Because it's an away game.
Correct.
You definitely need the three home games. Definitely the three home games.
Because you better win your games in your building.
Right. So if you have five games, you better win the ones at home and you steal two on the road, or at least try to.
So educated guess.
Yes.
So it's not inside knowledge. Now, as far as game one is concerned, when we come back, Sean Morash is going to give you a Cinco de Five-O. We'll get back to your calls on the Rangers, on the Islanders, and the Knicks. But I am going to give you a stat for Knick fans that you better have in the back of your memory tomorrow night, because it is absolute proof that tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden is a must-win game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.